I literally got off the plane just a day ago, and I've travelled from London over to Addis Ababa and then travelled by car the 12 hours down to the Borana region in the south. Now, Borana is the area being hit most severely by the drought that we've been watching footage about on the news, we've been reading about in the newspapers. And it's a very interesting situation in Borana. I went to meet the pastoralist communities, and the majority of people in the area are pastoralists, so that means that they rely on their livestock, their cows, their camels, their goats, their sheep. And of course, in the situation of a drought, those animals themselves, as well as the people, rely on water, and water is becoming more and more scarce. So some of the communities that I met told me about the fact that over the last 18 months, when they've already had two failed rains, so the last substantial rains were in March of 2010, that they have, all of them had the same story, that they had lost almost half of their herd, half of their livestock. And that, of course, means a huge impact on the way that they can live when they have to sell their cows at market, and the fact that they're having to buy grain with the money that they get from their cows, but they've got fewer and fewer cows. So they're really looking at a future that's full of worry and fear of what's going to happen if the drought worsens and they eventually lose even more livestock. Now, in the region of Borana, already, since the drought started, 300,000 livestock have lost their lives due to the drought. And even now, when you're going across through the bush, you can see that the land is terribly, terribly dry, that where there should be grass and grasslands, which should be a lovely green, light green colour, you just have the red earth around you. And the cattle that are making their way across these plains are moving very, very slowly. You can see their ribs, they're tired, their heads are down. And that's a significant sign that these animals aren't well, that they're weak and that they're vulnerable. So the people are experiencing a terrible time in Borana. The drought is incredibly severe.
But what's really interesting, Pascal explains, is that there isn't really a famine in Borana, in Ethiopia.
And that is a very significant point, that although these people really are looking down the barrel of continued and worsening drought, they are still managing somehow to cope. And Secretary General Ban Ki-moon from the UN last week actually spoke on this topic and said that in Kenya and in Ethiopia, what is amazing is that there are projects that are making people more resilient to the drought. And he specifically said that drought does not have to become famine. And what CAFOD's been doing with our partners in Borana is making sure that people who are facing an environment that is unlike what they're used to, where drought is happening upon drought and failed rain is happening upon failed rain, we're making sure that people have the knowledge and the skills to deal with this changing environment. We're making them more resilient. We're making them able to adapt to these changes. So some of the really hopeful things that I saw when I was there was the fact that we've been working really hard with partners on ensuring that water sources are cleared and made ready for rain, so that even when the smallest amount of rain falls, a rehabilitated watering hole has been fixed so that it can definitely hold that rain. And that means that the communities have one more water source nearer to their homes that they can go and drink from, that their animals can go and drink from as well.
That ensures, Pascal points out, that people aren't having to walk for 3, 4, 5 hours to get to the nearest watering hole.
And over the past 18 months in the projects that CAFOD's been working with on creating and repairing water holes, making sure that people don't have to travel as far, we've been reopening old wells that have been silted up, that have been closed for 20 years. We've been talking to the community about locating these old wells that for some reason have become disused. We've actually ensured that 20,000 people now have access to water and 80,000 animals now have access to water. And it's things like this that mean that a drought does not have to become a famine because people are being helped to help themselves to be able to cope with this situation.
Cafard has also been helping people to look at alternatives for livelihood.
Because pastoralism is so dependent on the livestock, and there has to be an admittance that at the moment the increasing number of droughts and the increasing frequency of the droughts, most likely caused by climate change, the change in climate in that area, is something that people are going to have to adapt to. And one way is to supplement their income with other livelihoods. And I specifically went and had a look at a soap cooperative of 25 or more people who have been working together to make and then sell and market aloe vera soap, because aloe vera is very common in the area that I visited in Burana. And they're slowly, slowly building up their skills, accountancy and the marketing of it, making sure that they actually work together as a cooperative that is successful. So all of these phenomenal projects that bring hope to the community and actually are still ensuring as the drought potentially worsens, because there's another rain in October that the expectation is that it will fail as well. But we're really making sure that these people are walking into that future that may be worse drought-wise, but actually they're going to have more tools to be able to cope with that drought.
Pascal, so you're actually saying that notwithstanding this current terrible emergency that the Horn of Africa is having to face, long-term projects are yielding their fruits, they're proving that they are successful.
Absolutely. And when I spoke to those experts on the ground who've been working with the communities in Burana year after year, that was their emphasis. The emphasis was that it is wonderful that people care and give, and CAFOD supporters themselves have given £4.5 million to the East Africa Appeal. Some of that money has been used to help these projects in Burana. But everybody said it's the long-term project that will help development and will also make sure that people are resilient. We need money in a crisis, of course we do, and that short-term, making sure everybody is okay and managing and coping and they have food and water, absolutely. But then we also have to think about the long-term to try and make sure that crisis doesn't happen again. And that's the aim of these longer-term resilience, or as we call them, disaster risk reduction projects that I've spoken about to do with water rehabilitation, etc. And they are the real key to making sure that these people in Burana do not have to keep facing the crisis situations of drought that can tip into famine.
I think it's very important to get this message out, because I was reading the other day an article talking about a kind of a donor fatigue that the West is experiencing, a feeling that, you know, whatever gets done, the situation that arises is always the same, is always so dramatic. But what you're saying is that donors can actually change the face of the tragedy.
Well, they already are. And just that comment by Ban Ki-moon, you can see he is seeing the evidence that these long-term projects in both Kenya and Ethiopia, and he's talking about our projects, CAFOD and our partners' projects in Ethiopia, are changing the way that people are coping with the drought situation. It is meaning that they can manage. It is still hard for them. We're not talking about the fact that they are fine. 300,000 cattle have been lost due to the drought. But people aren't dying. And that is the really, really important point. These people are incredibly strong, and they're used to dealing with drought. That has been part of their lifestyle and the environmental life cycle that they've dealt with for generation after generation. But what's being thrown at them right now is the fact that the drought cycles are much closer together and much more intense. So that skilling up and getting people the knowledge that they need to adapt quickly rather than over generations is exactly what we're doing, and it's exactly what the money from donors is being able to do, and the proof is already there.
So while we're hearing of this mass exodus from Somalia, for example, into Kenya in search of refugee camps, this isn't happening to the people in Ethiopia, is it?
No, it's not. Actually, Ethiopia is coping on its borders with some of those people who are coming from their own lands where they're having terrible effects from the drought, and crossing over borders in the hope that things are better in other countries.
Now, I see that coming up on the 7th is CAFOD's Harvest Fast Day, and there is an appeal for more donations. Would you like to say anything about that?
Thank you. On the back of what I was saying about the fact that helping the people of Borana isn't something that we can do in one crisis appeal, the development and the ability for them to adapt through these long-term projects, these water projects, these diversification of livelihoods projects, these long-term pieces of work need to be funded over long periods of time. So thank you to everybody who has given for the East Africa appeal. And what we're saying is that this drought isn't over. In fact, people are looking at the potential for failed rains in October. So this drought is only going to get worse. And in order to be able to help the people help themselves, we need to make sure that we can continue doing the good work. And so this Harvest Fast Day, we're calling out for you to continue giving to the East Africa Appeal. And you can go to our website, CAFOD's website, on cafod.org.uk and click on the relevant place. And thank you very much in advance.
Pascal, just one final question, a personal one, if you like. What does it feel like to be back in a place like London after having experienced Africa in such a dramatic situation?
It's very interesting to go from a country like Ethiopia to the UK and walk out of the aeroplane into Heathrow. I think during this trip, what I learned was some of the things that are wrong with our own consumerist society. Because I sat down with some elders who were looking after the rehabilitation of a big well called Webb Ella, and they were good enough to let us interview them for a couple of hours in the baking sunshine. And I was rushing around, not only asking questions, but taking photographs and taking film footage. And they were patient and they were good. And do you know what they said at the end of the 2 hours? Thank you for the time that you have given us. And we are so ashamed and we are so sorry that we could not offer you a meal. Because in the way that we would traditionally look after guests who have come to speak to us, we would feed you well and you would feast with us, but we do not have any food. And I think that taught me everything that I needed to know, that people in Ethiopia could still be thinking about the fact that they were missing being able to be polite to us, even though they're in the middle of a drought. And it's made me come back to London and think about our own ways of giving and our own ways of sharing, because these people are helping each other out even when they have nothing. They're sharing, they're making sure that nobody falls at the wayside, and that's a phenomenal thing to see.